Now, for something totally different, Petra Conroy lives in Kilcullen. She's a member of Catholic Comment, which is a group of Catholics in this country who've come together, really, Petra, to, I suppose, give the message and to speak on behalf of lay Catholics in this country.
I suppose we wouldn't really claim to speak on behalf of, you know, any big particular group, but we just are lay people who try to, what we say is, throw light on what the Church's message is, when it often seems like, how could they say that, or that seems very harsh, and we try to say why a rational, caring, compassionate person can feel, and just kind of explain it a little bit more clearly from a lay perspective.
A lay perspective. And you've commented on a number of issues. Now, one of the big issues with the Catholic Church, and it's a question that's age old, should priests be allowed to marry and should celibacy be optional? The reason why we have you on this morning is that 26 women who say they are in love with Catholic priests have written to Pope Francis urging him to make celibacy optional. The women, they all live in Italy, and they describe the devastating suffering caused by the Church's ban on priests having sex and marrying. What was your initial reaction when you read this story?
Well, on the one hand, it is a fantastic story. I mean, it's like something out of Dan Brown in some ways. But on the other hand, you do always feel sorry for somebody who's talking about devastating suffering. Like, and as a woman, I think a human, like, you know, when it comes to love and all that, there's a human, like, sympathy with them. But I thought underlying the story, I wondered myself how priests, and I haven't asked any priests about it, but how they would react. Because there's kind of an underlying implication under the story that these are men who are living not fulfilled lives, that aren't really fully able to express their humanity and their sexuality, and that this is a plea, a heartfelt plea from these women to allow them to do that. Whereas I would think an awful lot of priests listening in would be saying, yes, I've given up something very good and very, you know, as you know, marriage and family life and all the joys that that brings, to do something else really good, really fulfilling. I'm a fully human person. I feel fully, you know, engaged in life, and it's fulfilling, and I feel fulfilled. I was just interested as I was listening there that Father Dennis Doyle's obituary was read out just there before the after the news.
Yeah,
a lot of your listeners will probably remember Father Dennis because he was a parish priest in Carlo, but then came up after he retired. So I suppose he was about 65 or something. I'm not sure what age, but came up to Naas. And instead of, like, taking up golf or going to the races or whatever you might do, he really was a real example, I think, of what a priest is, because he was like a beacon of light going around Naas. He was chaplain to the hospital, and he just went in very quietly, but always with a kind of a twinkle in his eye, to people who were scared because they've suddenly found they've had a serious illness or they're facing death, and consoling relatives. And just quietly went about his business there for, I think, 25 years in Naas after he'd retired. And I was asking my sister this morning, she was saying that even when he went up to the nursing home, he still felt that his job was to console the other people up there and to look after them spiritually, and just until he died he was. Now, to me, that's a very, it's a different way of life, but it's a very fulfilling,
indeed,
you know, very
and
engaging.
There's no question, I suppose, about the service that 99% of priests,
and I suppose, Shane,
provide.
My point is, that isn't, it isn't as possible to do that if you've got, you know, a teenager with a Leaving Cert the next day or exams, or, you know, you have a 2-year-old who's teasing, you know, it is a different kind of commitment. And I suppose priests, the tradition in the Church has been that priests are able to be fully available to the Church and to their community.
But is it a case that the sort of sky would fall down if a priest were to be allowed to marry? I mean, when you look at the Anglican Church, or indeed Church of Ireland in this country, we have a bishop here, Pat Storey, from Bishop of Meath and Kildare, who has a number of children and has a husband. And still, I mean, I remember ringing her over Easter looking for her to come on the show, and she said, I'm too busy, I'm writing 3 pieces at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, she was really, really busy too.
Yeah.
I mean, surely a priest could marry, and maybe they could relate more to their flock.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, in fact, it isn't something that this is one of those things that the Church could change. It's not what they call a dogma. So in other words, it's not set in stone. It's been a tradition in the sense of, I don't mean tradition in just that it's something traditional. It's just something that the Church has practiced for the best part of 2,000 years. It was in the very early days of the Church that it became an established practice. But it could change it, because it's not absolutely essential. And as you said yourself, even in the Catholic Church, there are priests who, kind of groups of people who were Anglicans who became Catholics, especially in the UK and in America there in the last few years. And any that were ministers in Anglican ministers and now have a possibility of becoming Catholic priests, and they would be married. So it's not absolutely essential. So and the church actually does look at this every, like, if you Google celibacy Catholic Church, it looks at it nearly every 5 years or so, because, as you said, there are positives that you could look at, like, would they have a better understanding of married people, you know. Now, what they do every time they discuss it is they say, at the moment, on balance, we feel that the pluses are stronger, or that the value of it is still stronger, but we look at it again. So they do keep looking at it. It is a possibility.
Mm.
It's not one of those things.
And
but I just,
you know,
think that they still feel that availability to be completely at the service of a community is very valuable, and that at the moment they value that sufficiently that they want to continue it, yeah.
As you know, though, Petra, numbers are down. Numbers entering the priesthood. We had the Bishop of Kildare and Loughlin appeal to communities to support young men entering the priesthood. Numbers are down. Surely the way to solve this problem is to allow young men who have a calling and feel, you know, connected to God and to the Catholic Church, but to be able to say to them, you can love God, yeah, but also love a partner.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, that's for people who aren't priests. That's what we're doing. You can just be a very good Catholic and still, or a Christian or whatever, and still, you know, be whatever, an engineer, a married, you know, whatever. So it's not as if you have to be a priest to be holy or to be good. But could they not put?
Would it not attract numbers into the Catholic Church were this to change?
That's it. Yeah, and I mean, I think what they've done is when they looked at that before, the things that seems to give rise to more numbers joining the priesthood or to more young people being attracted to that seems to be more what communities they're brought up in, what families they're brought up in, and that there isn't really a direct connection that they can see, even in other churches, between allowing married clergy and increased numbers coming to the priesthood. That doesn't seem to be, it probably is a factor, but I think that the big factor, and I think Bishop Nulty mentioned that himself, is communities who encourage young people to see the importance of their faith, and then to try and see what is the thing that God is calling them to do. But I wonder, like, do we actually kind of consider with our own young people, not all of them would want to be priests, or would be called to be priests, but just to ask them that, what is God calling you to do, rather than what points are you getting, or, you know, what ambitions do you have, which are important things.
Mm.
But it's really out of communities. They say it takes a community to raise a child. And I think the same is for vocations to the priesthood, that it's out of a particular context that you'll find people being attracted to that way of life.
The letter that these 26 women wrote to Pope Francis, in parts it's actually heartbreaking. They say that it's tearing apart our souls. They say, with humility, we place at your feet our suffering so that something can change, not just for us, but for the good of the whole church. And they say to the Pope to bless our love, adding that few people could understand the devastating suffering lived by a woman who has a strong love for a priest. I mean, you can take a sort of funny and humorous side of this, but there are 26 women who are heartbroken.
There is real human suffering there. I mean, and of course, any human being would want, you know, you have empathy for people who are in a hard time. But I suppose if you look at, so they're priests who have made a commitment to something very serious, and if you changed, say, priests for married men, suddenly everybody would have a different attitude. The women would still be suffering, they would still be in love with people, but people would understand very readily, look, these are married men, they have other commitments, they have children, you know, they have other, so a priest too has other commitments, they have gone into it, they've made that commitment, and then they have their parish and their parishioners and the old sick people and people dying on the side of the road and the young couples waiting to get married who they have made that commitment to. Now, as I said, it could change, but I suppose for this particular situation, it's a similar one to anybody who finds themselves deeply in love with somebody who has committed to something else. So in a way, there's a similarity there, although I do see, of course, that there's, you know, there is a sense in which that doesn't have to be the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But for those priests, they have made that commitment and they, you know, went through their whatever 6 or 8 years. So I just think, that if you change that to married men and you said 26 women are writing to the Pope because they're madly in love with married men and they want the Pope to relax the, you know, the church's views about marriage, you would have quite a different reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I just wonder, do we really value, you know, I'd love to hear a priest's perspective on this, or a priest who's very happy in his vocation to say, well, you know, it's like as if our one isn't good enough. That this other one, you know, this other vocation has to.
And going back, Petra, to relating with parishioners, for example, in Nace, you have Father PJ Madden. Now, Father PJ was married and has
Absolutely,
children.
Yeah.
His wife passed away. PJ also was a union leader, I think, with the Nurses' Union.
A fantastic preacher.
And I can tell you that I've spoken to young people in Nace who sing his praises when they go to Mass or they're at a funeral or a wedding, and what a great preacher and speaker Father Madden is.
Yeah.
He has had life experience of having a wife, loving a woman and also loving God, and indeed having children.
Yeah.
Life experience can help, and particularly when the church and priests are going into schools and talking to children about communions and confirmations, would it not be better if they had children themselves, or the option to have children?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very valid point, and I think that's why the church does keep looking at it. Does keep looking. It's not as if the church is saying, oh, there's nothing to be said for this point of view. You know, they do look at it every so often, and just at the moment, as some of the points I made earlier are what they see. Okay, this still is a bit stronger, this still is a more valuable thing. In an age, I suppose, when, you know, for a lot of young people, like the whole pressure to engage in sexuality at a younger age and everything. So it's interesting to have role models who are just offering something different. But absolutely what you said is very valid, that there's something to be brought, and Father PJ is a fantastic example of that. But I think as well, in a way, like, if you like saying, you know, a single person couldn't offer a niece or nephew a very interesting and other insight, because the children have their parents who are offering that, and their aunts and uncles and grandparents who are offering that life experience and that whole contribution to their upbringing. And it's no harm in a way to have another kind of perspective who's maybe slightly aside from it, but very much, I mean, good priests should be very much rooted in their community. I mean, one of the things that strikes me is priests who hear confessions must get a huge insight into humanity, from the little old lady who has almost nothing to somebody who really has, you know, plucked up their courage to come back to confession after maybe 10 years or more, and is quite tormented by maybe things they've done in their past they regret. But they must get a huge insight into humanity from that, that they, you know, that it offers a different perspective to that very valuable one you've mentioned. And there could be, I mean, I would have absolutely no problem if down the line the church said, oh yeah, in this particular situation, now we think it's the time to do it. But I don't think they would ever, and it's like some of the Eastern churches that do allow married priests, there are also celibate priests.
Okay.
Celibacy is also still part of the thing. I think the way they do it is, a priest, if he wants to get married, he gets married first and then becomes ordained. And if they're going to be celibate, they get ordained and they never get married.
Right. Final question for you. As you say, you've no problems down the line where the church to look at this again.
Yeah.
Pope Francis is seen as a reforming pope. Young people in particular love him. He takes selfies. He cancelled his newspaper around himself. He rang up and said, I won't need to be calling into the shop to get in the newspaper. I'm moving to Rome. He drives around in his old car. He's seen as very, very accessible. Do you think that if celibacy is to become optional in the Catholic Church, and if the option to marry were to happen, that it'll be under his watch?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. And obviously Pope Francis is very much about trying to offer the faith as a really positive thing, first to people and then pulling them in to see this is what it's about, this is the challenges it offers. But Pope Francis is very interesting in two ways. One is, he's very much into what a thing called collegiality, which is the Pope is the head, but there's the bishops and the church and the people are very much part of the church as well. So he really is very much emphasizing, which all the popes did, the listening thing. So he wouldn't make that kind of decision on his own. On the other hand, he is a very strong leader and is very open. So who knows, under his, you know, if you have a leader who's a very strong opinion on one thing, he would obviously have a huge influence on the rest of the church. So interesting times with Pope Francis, no doubt about that. So yeah, I mean, maybe the possibilities a little bit more there than it might have been, but he will very much listen to what the bishops and the priests and the people have to say. He won't make that kind of decision, you know, on his own, and no Pope would either.
Okay, Petra, thank you as always for your comments and your insight. Petra Conroy is from Kilcullen and with the organisation Catholic Comment, who have a number of Kildare spokespeople, we're proud to say as well, flying the flag well for County Kildare. Thanks, Petra, for taking our call this morning. On the way, we're going to talk about a big tourism event here in County Kildare later today, local issues from the Nace area, and the Irish Schoolwear Association, who want to respond to an interview Bernardos gave us on the programme last week.